Welcome to the Law Shit You Should Know podcast. We're here to talk a little bit about the law
and a whole lot about nothing. Every week, we have a new guest to discuss current events, legal drama, and dive even deeper into
the Law Shit You Should Know. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Law Shit You Should Know with Alina Santana
and Leslie Marenko.
And today we have the amazing Jen Diaz with us.
Hey there.
Hi. Thank you so much for coming today.
When I hear your podcast name, Law Shit You Should Know, I knew that I needed to be
she
here.
She knew. What Law Shit. Well, we're so excited to learn more about what Law Shit you're going to tell us today. So why don't we start by telling everybody what you do and who you are.
Sure. I'm a board certified customs and international trade lawyer, and most people say, what the hell does that mean? And
sure.
That's the normal every day. It took my mom about 5 years of working with me to realize what the hell I did for a living.
That's not bad.
Right? You know? I feel like it takes most lawyers that enter into my world about 5 years to know what the hell they're doing too. So that's the typical age range here. So my world is cargo based. Your world is people based.
Yep.
Care a little less about people and a little more about cargo. The people that go with the cargo are the people I care about. But we deal with more so people than cargo. So I'm going to quiz you guys on some fun.
Not like drug cargo.
No drugs.
No drugs.
Well, legal cargo.
Cargo. So drugs do come into the mix. I'm not going to lie. Drugs do come into the mix, but we are dealing with the legitimate flow
so
of
you,
cargo.
So they don't call you if they're illegal cargo is seized. There's nothing you can do for that.
I am not helping
wrong
with drugs.
Lawyer.
Right. Wrong lawyer. Right.
Call
Seinfeld. Right.
But let's keep breaking this down before you
keep
going.
Yeah,
so when we talk about cargo, we talk about anything, right? Are we talking
about
importing rum?
All
like,
of
from
it.
The
yes.
That's a
so
good
So here's Vuitton.
All of it. Bring it,
fake
baby.
Fake Louis Vuitton.
Let's talk about counterfeits.
We'll talk about fakes. We'll talk about fakes.
We have a lot to talk about fakes. Yeah,
I wouldn't know anything about
lot.
That.
You would never admit that on a podcast. CBP said our client allegedly violated XYZ all day, every day. Yes, on the same page there. But let's talk about everything that you use, love, and deal with on a day-to-day basis. Let's talk about your apparel. How much of it's made in the U.S., baby?
Probably none of it.
And?
I would assume.
When's the last time you saw a made in the USA label, baby?
I have not checked, but I imagine it's not.
So I can't even think of one, to be honest. Maybe on bourbon or something, like made in Tennessee.
Right? Maybe on some alcohol. Right. Hello? Yeah. We can all think about Napa and my delicious wine.
Yeah,
okay?
There you go.
There we have a made in the USA, but how rare is it for you to see something made in the USA?
It's true.
So now when we do have things
made
that are,
in China, is what I feel.
Like. What a
made
shock, right?
Yeah.
And why? Because we want cheap shit.
Yeah,
we do.
We love cheap shit, but this is the first year
and that's
ever.
The collective we. Like our
collective we, yes. The we of the United
the
States.
The Libra we, is what we and I like to say.
I don't speak Libra.
I know.
As an aside, so when we think about anything that has to come into the United States, okay?
Sure.
So anything that's imported into the United States for us, fabulous consumers to buy because we love to shop
love
and
to
buy, right?
Yeah.
So how many ports of entry do you think there are in the United States for goods and or people to come into the United States? I think you may be cheating.
Good and or people.
Yes.
I'll let Leslie answer.
I don't know, 150.
Yeah. 328 ports of entry to come into
really?
The United
have, like,
States.
Like two coasts
right.
Or like...
Crazy. All right, now, how many customs employees do you think there are in the United States? You know this too. You can't
now that there's 300 some ports,
right.
There's thousands, I imagine, each port? No.
So 60,000 total customs officials. Now
okay.
They deal with the people side and the cargo side together. So customs mission is to facilitate the entry of legitimate cargo and also to sniff out the drugs, to sniff out the weapons, to sniff out the terrorists, to sniff out the bad things. So they have a huge job because they have national security on one side and then the facilitation of legitimate cargo. Now, how many U.S. federal government agencies do you think there are that regulate imports and exports?
Two?
I wish, and a good day.
Actual agencies?
Federal agencies. It's insanity.
there's got to be a lot of them. I mean, we talk about environmental concerns.
There you go.
Talk
EPA.
Obviously, CBP is number
CBP,
one, right?
That's,
but then we got to talk about, like, when there's actually unlawful things, there's probably ICE involved.
HSI.
Department of Homeland Security, HSI.
Right.
Homeland
DHS.
Security.
So all
CBP.
These people have some role in checking
of course,
all of
yeah.
these things.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 47 federal agencies,
that
sometimes
right.
with duplicative roles. So now we deal with agricultural commodities. Like,
oh,
our
yeah.
client wants to import. We're dealing with a client right now that is Italiano and wants to import delicious pizzas. But guess what? Pepperoni, prosciutto, whatever
yeah.
toppings. How many federal agencies regulate a damn pizza? Guess.
I mean, I'm guessing you could talk about the agricultural issues, like bugs
USDA,
coming in.
USDA.
Oh,
and then when you
gosh.
Get the food, FDA, Food and Drug Administration,
yeah,
and Customs. So for a damn pizza, you're dealing with no less than three federal agencies. And then you can have the Federal Freaking Trade Commission for
yeah.
the truthfulness of the labeling. What if you make the prosciutto bigger than the freaking pizza and you lie to consumers on the pizza box, right? Like, how much prosciutto is going
to
be in the
new
pizza?
When you say they're regulating this, like, there's applications and bullshit that has to go through these people to import this pizza.
Applications and bullshit.
And bullshit.
So here, but let's take this a step back,
sure.
right? Let's talk about alcohol for a second, okay?
Uh-huh.
So now we're dealing with applications and bullshit because we have the Alcohol, Tobacco, Tax, and Trade Bureau, another agency, TTB. Before you're able to import your alcohol, we have to apply for a permit to import and wholesale. But now let's back up for 85 more steps. When you want to import any damn thing, the water, the microphone, the Coke, the chocolate, the mint.
These cute mints she brought.
Absolutely. It's all about the swag at DTL. When you come to my office, you get a cafecito mug too. So you got to come.
I love it.
Yes. So when you're trying to import anything, one of the first things we do in our top 10 tips, which is free on our website because I'm way too nice. And on that top 10 tips, number one is, who the hell regulates you? What federal agency regulates your particular product? Because we could deal with clothes. Guess what? If it's clothing for a kid, you have Consumer Product Safety Commission because we want to make sure they're not going to blow up in their
kids.
Damn sleep.
Oh, shit.
You want to make sure it's not flammable. When it's for kids, you want to make sure what they're putting in their mouth doesn't have freaking lead in it. Are you going to hurt the damn kid?
Hey, I don't want lead either. Forget these kids. How about us?
But on a toy truck? When's the last time you put a toy truck in your mouth? You don't do that.
God.
You're a grown-up, okay?
God. So even for toys.
I mean,
right.
But lots of grown-ups, like, chew the back of their pens.
Right? Well, same thing. But CPSC doesn't care about you at this age.
I
mean,
got
at this
it.
Age,
yeah,
you
so
should
safe.
Know better.
You should
but
know
when
better
you're under 12,
than to poison yourself.
When you're under
got
12,
it.
That's when CPSC cares. But look how many agencies we just talked about. Now, every agency has a different story. Now, when it comes to U.S. Customs, here's my biggest pet peeve, okay? Biggest. You can import this freaking mint, right? And you can comply with Food and Drug Administration. But when it comes to customs to import the damn mint, you don't have a customs import license. It doesn't exist. Meaning, I can get set up as a company and I can import into the United States. And here's an even bigger exception. I can be a company in Mexico importing into the United States. You do not have to be a U.S. entity in order to import into the U.S. You can be a foreign resident importer, meaning you can be a foreign entity registered with customs. But when I say registered, I mean your customs broker is filling out a form with U.S. Customs
sure.
saying, hey, we're going to register to import. That's it. You get a bond. And the bond is in place to protect customs, not to protect the importer, because customs isn't here to protect you. Customs is here to protect revenue. Guess what is the largest revenue producing agency in the U.S.? What federal agency? Who collects your damn taxes?
IRS
is number one. Guess who's number two? The second largest revenue producing agency in the United States is U.S. Customs.
Makes perfect sense.
So customs only cares about their money, honey.
Yeah.
So when it comes to their money, they want that customs bond in place is to protect revenue. So if you screw up your admissions, basically your entry docs to customs, you have your mints, your candy, your alcohol, your whatever, your clothing coming into the U.S., if you're paying the wrong amount of duties, customs can come after your bond to collect those duties.
Yes,
let's
right.
back up. When's the last time you shopped on Alibaba or Amazon, right?
Say, I buy on Shein, right?
Like, of course, because everybody and their mother buys online. Yeah. All these Chinese entities are smart enough to market to us direct now.
Right.
So they're doing direct-to-consumer ads. These Temus and these whatevers are coming after
Temu,
us.
Yeah, Shein.
I mean, they are all over my Facebook ads.
Doing all these applications?
I am saying you are the importer of record for e-commerce goods. You, honey, you. But let's back up another second. So there are two different aspects, okay? When it comes to importing for personal use, that's not my everyday, and that's not, you know, I care about people that can pay my bills, right?
Sure.
So when you're buying your whatever hundreds of dollars on Amazon, I want millions of dollars worth of shipments. I want hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of shipments, not the de minimis. They call it de minimis. Anything under $800 is a de minimis importation.
$800
per person per day. So that's what you're allowed to import online. Per person, per
day.
But
that's interesting. So what happens if I go on Shein.com and I buy $900 worth of clothes?
Right? Then you're supposed to file an actual entry with U.S. Customs.
Okay.
So $800 is your max. So think of that. So now, so we deal with individuals when it comes to two aspects. A lot of individuals arriving from their French shopping trips or wherever the hell they're going in Europe, right? And they're buying all their Louis whatever, Chanel whatever,
whatever.
Right. And good luck with that costing less than $800, right? So when you get back into the U.S., you fill out that form, right? So when you're leaving or entering the U.S., there's two things that you have to keep in mind. One is $10,000 cash. We deal with a lot of people for whatever their variety of allegedly unlawful, we consider them lawful reasons, right?
Unlawful.
Allegedly. They're carrying their suitcases of cash and putting them in wherever crevice. So now...
I will pause and say there are lawful reasons to bring in cash.
100%. I said allegedly.
Yeah,
Custom says allegedly unlawful.
Allegedly unlawful.
I say lawful.
Okay,
I mean, I fight for cash all day, every day.
Okay.
So now, if you're bringing in, because Leslie's our money rolls here, so she's bringing in 50 grand worth of cash in her suitcase, right?
Yes.
You have to report that to U.S. Customs, just like you're buying your Chanel $8,000 whatever suit and $50,000 shopping spree with your $50,000 winnings, right?
Absolutely.
You have to have all of your receipts and you have to file a formal entry with Customs, because what does Customs want? Going back to the beginning, your duties is all about the money.
Wait a second.
Hold on.
I remember these little forms being given out before, right? You'd be on
they're
an airplane
not anymore.
And they'd come around and it's a little piece of paper
correct.
And blah, blah, blah.
Now it's
blah.
Electronic.
I was about to say, I don't remember
it's
these
not.
Forms existing anymore.
Correct. Because everybody's going paperless. All these federal agencies
but
are
going
paperless.
But I don't even recall someone telling me, fill out this paperless
form
the last
go
time.
Go on this website.
I cruise a lot. I'll use this as an example.
Yes.
I cruise a lot. I just got back from a cruise.
Do you have global entry?
I do have global entry.
Okay. So you are filling this out every damn time you return to the U.S. and not even reading what you're filling out. So you know how it's asking you, do you have any ag? Are you carrying cash worth over $10,000 with you? Do you have anything to declare?
I don't remember being asked anything though. When am I being asked?
On the computer.
There's no computer.
Back.
They do
okay.
visual.
So now it's up to you to verbally
like
declare.
They look at your picture. There's a machine.
Right.
It looks at your picture. It tells you keep going.
You
I don't,
re-
pull
you
it
don't remember ever putting yes or no
I mean,
on the screen?
Before, but
yes.
not recently.
Now they're doing
now,
your
now
eye
Now
checks.
That they do the
well,
eye scan.
Technically.
You don't even speak to a human when you come in.
They're trusting you as a global entry member to know the rules of the
room.
So
even if you weren't, but even if you're not a global entry
to
member.
To report.
Even if you're not a global entry member, for example, at the cruise ports, everybody walks through now. Everybody.
They're asked whether or not they have something to declare. Do you have global entry? Do you remember
so.
The last time you traveled into the United States? I want everyone to think about it. When's the last time
I
you
was
went
here? Two
to
weeks.
The...
2 weeks.
Perfect.
It was 2 weeks for me.
But it's different when you're
clear.
A global entry member, especially
yeah,
with global
but it
entry.
Wasn't,
clear.
I traveled with non-global entry members, and all six of us went right through. And it was a visual, you know, the machine.
Yeah.
They.
Well, now I guarantee you, somebody in that cruise passenger terminal had their goods stopped. And got their goods seized, because now when you think about it, every year, how many seizures do you think occur?
I was
going
to say, they
basis?
Love to be like, you bitch, over to the side.
Well,
you look like you,
it,
you bought some shit.
I was about to say,
not
is it random?
No.
No.
There's nothing
this is
random.
Like reverse stereotype.
Right.
Like,
so
you look like you bought shit over there.
So let's go back for 2 seconds to the 10,000 to just clear up that aspect. When it comes to cash, The reporting is your FinCEN 105 form, right. And it's to make sure, and you can speak about taxi stuff on the job better than I ever could. But the idea, at the end of the day, it's just a declaration and reporting. A lot of people are scared about their own home governments, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want, wherever the hell I come from, to know whatever cash I had in hand. And that's usually the fear that comes from the reporting. But for U.S. Customs purposes, they don't care. You know, they don't, all they care about is that you physically reported the 10K worth of cash. And if you don't fill out that declaration form, Customs has the ability to take all of your cash. And then we have to go through the seizure process in order to get your cash back. And the seizure process can take 3 months, 6 months, a year. Customs has no time limit because it's the government. Mm-hmm. Fine. Now, when it comes to goods, if you don't declare your goods when you're coming into the U.S., that fabulous $50,000 shopping spree, Customs has the right to take all of your goods and then go through the seizure process to get it back. All right. So now getting back to the cargo side, which is what I care about on a day-to-day, there are lots of reasons that Customs would stop cargo and have issues
with
the cargo.
How do they choose
which
one of these bins to open?
Yeah, that's hard. And Customs, so I will tell you this, Customs is investing millions of dollars in AI. So AI is the new sexy sauce for Customs. So Customs is getting very, very smart about targeting and advanced targeting. So they have two different things that they do. If cargo's coming by sea, they ask for ISF data, which is importer security filings. Basically, who stuffed your container? Who made this damn jacket? Who touched the jacket? Where did it come from? Tell me about the jacket. What's the classification of the jacket? Lots of advanced targeting data so they can figure out, did it come from the bad region in China where there was forced labor? So Customs has their list, but Customs also gives the world, basically any importer, lots of guidance on their website. So Customs says, look, we have a shared obligation to make sure that whatever is being imported into the U.S. is being imported compliantly. So I, Customs, am going to give you a gazillion resources, and I expect you to read our website, to read our informed compliance publications, to read Federal freaking Register notices. You tell me what average person knows that the Federal Register exists, to read the Customs bulletin and all sorts of things. But now, within all of these resources, we put together an informed compliance, kind of our own reasonable care guideline. So basically, the Customs obligation is, you want to import, Leslie? Great. Your job as an importer is to use reasonable care, to do what Alina would do, to act as a reasonable importer under the same circumstances. What would she do? Is she more diligent than you?
She is.
No? I mean, she is.
Well, then you better act like her when you're importing, you know? So there is a Uyghur forced labor list. There's an entity
list.
There's a list of bad schmucks that you can't buy shit from. So that
bad
does exist.
Schmucks.
So that there is.
We'll change your name next week, but okay.
100%. That's another story. That's where the AI comes into play for Customs. So two questions to answer at the same time. One is the shit that Customs cares about enforcing under your reasonable care checklist that Customs puts together. Intellectual property rights, which we'll talk about. That's
okay.
Your counterfeits. Yep. And also, on the flip side, what I care about is protecting brand holders. So we want the Coca-Colas and the whatevers of the world to come to us saying, we want Customs to police your brand at all 328
sure.
points of entry.
Sure, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Which is
right.
So, if it makes so much sense.
The fake Louis Vuitton.
Correct.
Yes.
And now the cool part
don't
is that Customs is protecting your brand at all those ports of entries. Customs detains, seizes, and issues a penalty for the value as if it was legitimate.
Oh, I love that.
So, oh, God.
So
okay.
Now you tell me why there are only 20,000 recordations of trademarks when there are millions of registrations with the USPTO. Why don't people know about this?
What is a recordation
okay.
of
so
trademarks?
So the idea is if I have my Diaz Trade Law brand,
yes.
So I register with USPTO because I want to put
right.
The US world, on notice that this is my brand,
yes.
right? And then, let's pretend Alina is Customs. I say, I have a registered brand. You have to have an actively registered brand
sure.
with USPTO. And then you say, great, I've reviewed it. You're not full of it. Phenomenal. It is a real brand. I will protect you, baby, at all these ports of entry. I will look out for the fake Leslies of the world. So if she tries to come in with my Diaz trade law, you say, not so sure. Because when I record my brand with you, Customs, I say, here's where it's manufactured.
Got it.
Here are my legitimate suppliers and my legitimate distributors into the U.S. And she's not on the good list, all right?
You.
So then,
but that requires a second set of paperwork to
the recordation.
Right? Yeah.
So is it just that people are lazy?
I honestly, I don't think people even know this exists.
So they do, and I'll tell you why I know, because I've registered my own brand.
Yeah.
And what happens is after you register with USPTO, you get a bunch of crap in the mail that looks
yeah.
like all this.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
you're supposed to look through all that crap, and you're supposed to see that there's
and
a letter in there. There's a letter from U.S. Customs in all of that mountain
wow.
of crap that says, by the way, you should be recording your brand
Wait,
with us.
So our brand is registered. I don't think we've gotten that.
And here's a bigger joke. Because I used to
Did
be
you
an
throw
engineer.
It away?
Because I used to be an engineer.
I don't know
I am a registered patent lawyer under the USPTO, and I did not know any of this.
And that's what bothers
so
me.
I don't practice
Yes,
research.
But this is what bothers me. So for the intellectual property rights side, there's a lot you can do to protect your brand that people aren't actively doing. All right. So... what's forced labor? Let's start there.
Okay.
Oh God, this is going to go off the rails. Okay, let's start there.
No,
we're not going there.
Legal definition.
What is the legal definition under customs?
19 USC 1307. All work or service exacted from a person under the menace, threat of any penalty for its non-performance and for which the worker does not offer himself voluntarily.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's slavery. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, people.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess, now here's another trivia for you. Annual trade value of forced labor in the world.
Tons. There's tons of it.
Yeah,
if you
yeah,
start
value.
Thinking about people who are like
Horrible.
Indentured servants.
All of it. Horrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
$150 billion industry annually.
No, it's a huge
40
industry.
Million people around the world in a forced labor situation. So now,
yeah.
there was a rule
Being
in the United
hostage.
States
yeah.
that was called the Consumptive Demand Clause. And this means we're all shoppers like Leslie. We love shopping. So if we need it bad enough in the United States, however it was made, we're going to turn a blind eye. It was a consumptive demand. If we need it bad enough, then screw it. However it was made, it was made. That's not my problem. So TIFTIA, the Trade Facilitation and Trade Enforcement Act of 2015, stopped the consumptive demand. We said, we don't give a shit how it was made anymore. Like, we don't give a shit how much we need it. We give a shit about how it was made. So we changed our give a shit factor here. So we said, it doesn't matter how bad we need it in the United States. We care about people again. Okay?
Yeah.
So this is the care about people
no,
of 2015.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's
that process
to be
here.
Said, right? We 100%. Don't want children in factories, you know, all these
With
things.
Children.
Or not
yes.
even
no,
yes,
One
yes,
thing I do
true.
Want you to download and everyone else to think about is the Department of Labor has a Sweat and Toil app free on your phone. Sweat, S-W-E-T, and Toil, T-O-I-L. Sweat and Toil. This app lets you download and lets you see the goods and the countries where forced labor is currently in place. And it tells you whether or not it's adult or child labor and
wow.
what goods are potentially at issue from any random country. In Mexico, there are 15 different items on that list. Who would think? So here's the fun part for you, okay? So for example, it is known that cotton in the Uyghur region in China is made with forced labor, okay? So now you're buying shit on Shein, right? Did you ask your supplier where the fuck the cotton was
from? I did
from?
Not. I
right?
certainly did
so
not.
So you could be importing goods made with the use of forced labor and subject to customs enforcement. Now, customs has said in their guidance, they haven't done it yet as far as we've seen, that there could be criminal implications
wow.
for importing goods made with the use of forced labor. So they've threatened civil and criminal penalties. We haven't seen them yet. But in our reasonable care checklist, there are 12 questions about forced labor. Guess what they expect you to know? With clear and convincing evidence.
Clear and convincing.
That is the standard. Clear and convincing evidence. What they expect from any importer is for you to have the invoice from the freaking cotton bale level for any shirt you bring into the United States.
Right.
So this new law forces you to do supply chain mapping and tracing
oh, wow.
down to your raw material levels.
Wow.
And the problem is the small guys are screwed.
I was
going
to say, this seems very onerous for, you know.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
So what happens is the large guys, so I've been in conferences and you can see the large guys, they're so happy and proud. They're doing their mapping and tracing and they have whole teams dedicated and they can tell you where every freaking screw and nut and bolt is from and da-da-da-da-da. And that's what it takes. Because clear and convincing evidence is the standard. That's a lot. So it's really tough. It's a tough situation for the small guys because now here's the fun part, right? Alina's me in customs, and you're my shopper, okay? And you're my importer. You brought in $100,000, $1 million, whatever the value is worth of goods. It's commercial importation. You're stopping the goods, and you're saying, Alina, wait, Leslie, I'm not so sure about this cotton. Prove to me that there's no forced labor in your supply chain. And you say, oh, shit, I didn't ask these questions before I imported. It's too freaking late after the fact. So what does Alina say? Export that shit out of my country. It's not allowed in the country. Wow. So it's interesting. So there are lots of ways customs can target.
So when you say that they're not enforcing, you're just talking about the criminal aspect.
Correct.
But they're doing everything
correct.
Else. Have you seen any of them enforce the criminal aspect at all?
And a lot. Yes.
And what?
HSI is hot. So double invoicing is a hot topic. So
wait, what is HSI?
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security Investigations.
Exactly. Okay.
That's like the detectives of ICE and
DHS and CBP.
Yeah. They're the same. That's the same agency that does my marriage fraud investigation. That like comes to people's
so
houses.
So they do the commercial
really
investigations for commercial fraud, just the same as marriage fraud. So these are our fraud
different
guys.
Departments.
When they are showing up, you in trouble, baby.
Yeah.
So here's another story that I will tell you that was a legit story, okay? And we're going to use candies.
Sure.
All right. So here's my importer, innocent schmuck, all right? Here's his supplier, right? Supplier gives him this invoice, right? And what does supplier do? Supplier says, I'm going to deliver the shit straight to you, and I'm going to communicate with the forwarder and the broker on your behalf. And the supplier gives forwarder broker a whole nother set of invoices.
Oh, well,
and
I didn't know.
Aha.
I didn't know. I didn't submit that invoice.
Aha. But your name is
your
importer of record, and
sure.
It's your, right?
Okay.
So then what we do is we come into play, we explain the story, and then we put what we call a stop and verify procedure in place. So before FedEx, UPS, your customs broker gets the invoice from the supplier, I force this person to come back to you to say, hey, is this the right shit? And you say, that ain't right. And then you have to fix it before you report it to customs. We call that a stop and validate, stop and verify procedure. But if that wasn't in place, you truly didn't know. So you were just an innocent schmuck, right?
Right.
So we found a situation that you can buy into. And this was legit.
Like
this
that.
Has happened. Fine.
I like that.
So we can end there. Now that we got to a happy place, we can stop that one.
All right, Jen. Well, tell us, what else do we need to know? What else do people out there need to know about, you know, trade and... you're scaring me, man. I'm afraid to, like, go online shop now.
So here's what I will tell you. My rule of thumb, when and I will say
$800.
This.
You could buy on the Shine website, $800.
No, es correcto. Because
no?
I want you to think about this, right? What if you have something with a damn logo on it? Are you doing USPTO searches and copyright searches for every damn logo that's on anything you're buying?
Does the Shine website have...
No.
Who's the liable party?
Me.
Thank
but,
you.
But
does Shine care?
No,
who's,
no, no.
Who's
but
regulating
like,
and enforcing
Shine? Is the
Shine
website
in China?
Name
oh, come on.
Is it like Louis Vuitton on the Shine website?
Oh,
well,
my God.
Okay, so
I want you to think about Instagram, okay? And think about all these crappy websites that are out
yeah,
there.
I was about to say,
who validates them?
I was about
who?
To say, you can go on,
no,
the, on the accounts that sell like counterfeit products. I see them all the time. They pop up on social media. You know?
No, but what I'm saying is
I'm
lots of
brand
things can be trademarked,
so
lots of things, right? Like, obviously, everyone knows when
so
you buy fake Louis Vuitton,
course,
fake Louis Vuitton.
If they're on
what
the Shine,
sell,
they have
no
the Shine website.
Well, that you'd be surprised.
I thought they sell clothes.
No, you'd be surprised.
Allegedly.
I think you are an educated consumer. I think I'm an educated consumer. I think there are a lot of uneducated consumers that see a deal. The ads pop up on these websites.
You think these people think they're getting Louis Vuitton for $100?
Maybe not $100, but there's some of these websites will sell it for $300, $400.
There is no Louis Vuitton for $300.
Sure there are.
No, there are.
Oh,
no.
Absolutely.
Free love.
No, there are not.
Free love.
Free love, my ass.
Free love. That's right. Free love. You know, I bought a used Louis Vuitton. Actually, it was a Louis Vuitton that I purchased. That it's a real one.
Allegedly.
But it was real. But the very first one I bought that was pre-loved, I'm talking years and years ago, and I bought it from, I did my research, I found it to be a very legitimate website. And even then, I was paranoid. Like, I actually took it to the Louis Vuitton store and made sure
I
asked them, because I was like, did I get ripped off?
I will
here?
Tell you
stories. And I didn't get ripped off, for the record. But I can absolutely
correct.
See that happening. And I'm talking about someone who actually did the research.
I will tell
right
you.
Website.
We have clients that are consignment shops in the past that have had U.S. Customs seize their legitimate pre-owned goods that they purchased from others. So you purchase legit Louis whatever. You sell to Leslie, you own sexy consignment shop. And then U.S. Customs says, screw this, I'm taking it because the value is too low. I don't believe that it's legitimate. And then I've had to get Louis to validate that it was legitimate to get it released from you. So U.S. Customs is actively seizing even the consignment shop purchases, for example.
Wow. Okay, so let's run through a scenario.
But let me... Yes.
I bring this shit in. I love the Burberry pattern on this Shine website. I think it's different enough, and I am no one to be assessing.
Let's say you're even buying $100 worth of it.
I am buying $100 once.
But what's the legitimate? What's the value as if it was legitimate? What's your real value of that?
$800 was a fucking scarf. Okay. I paid $50. It was $800.
So technically, you could be responsible for a penalty of $800 on top of it. Remember that. The penalty potential has no de minimis bearing.
So it comes into the port, whether it's airport or seaport or whatever port.
Yeah, seaport.
I learned something on every podcast. Every podcast. I'm like blown away.
How many ports have
you seen? Like 300 something, I heard. Okay, so like it comes in, they open my shit because I guess they have the right to open any shit they want to open.
National security. Hello. You fight that. Good luck.
It could be a bomb.
My little scarf. Fine. Right. They open it, they go. And they apparently are trained to go, this is Burberry. This is a fucking...
They are, yeah.
Remember, we can train anyone we want for those brands.
The brands train them.
We get to train customs on how to
spot the face. Do I get to fight this training? Like, as do I get to like... Okay, anyway, we're digressing here.
No, but if you actually go... We, you know, before we started filming, I was talking to Jen about doing like seaport tours and all that. And I've gone many times. I care more about the immigration side. But as an immigration attorney, I've gone and done seaport tours.
Absolutely.
CDP, and it's fascinating. They have rooms where you can see all the things they see.
Seize property warehouses.
Yeah, there's seized property warehouses.
Just go to auction at some point.
Hold on. But let's be clear. If it's intellectual property right violative, if it's counterfeit, it has to be destroyed.
It gets destroyed.
You have an obligation to destroy because you can't. Customs can't take part in selling counterfeit.
The amount of alcohol that they pour down and like destroy, like counterfeit alcohol. Which is crazy.
Counterfeit alcohol.
100%. Like the fake bottles, fake whatever.
Mezcal, like what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't even talk about Cuban cigars or rum, but same bar.
So back to my liability in this nonsense.
Right. Sure.
So this comes in, they open it, they go, this is not a Burberry scarf because I saw the videos Burberry made for me and I know how many fucking stripes to count.
100%.
And now they're what? Sending me a letter in the mail saying, had a fake Burberry scarf. And you owe us X dollars.
No, not you owe us. So you get a letter from U.S. Customs that has customs on top of it. That is like my worst fucking nightmare. You want to scare me to death? You mail a fake letter to me saying it's from U.S. Customs. I will die right then and there. That is like the one thing I don't want to see in my mailbox ever. So I am so careful about what the hell I order online. If it's not Amazon Prime and like already imported by some other fucker, I am not buying it. All right? I am not the importer.
Analysis one is who's the importer.
Correct. Right. So now, on the seizure notice, so Customs has two obligations. One is upon importation, Customs decides during the detention process what their admissibility decision is. Am I going to keep it detained? Am I going to release it? Or am I going to seize it? And if it gets seized, it goes to the Fines, Penalties, and Forfeitures Office. We call them FP&F within Customs. As soon as this person from Customs, this officer, it's an issue with the item. Not you, the item, technically. So the case is against the item. And it just so happens that you're the liable party for bringing the item into the U.S., right? So Customs has already gone through their sexy training. They know that your stuff is counterfeit as fuck. So they send it straight to FP&F and they say, seize this shit. I already know. I don't have to ask Burberry. I don't need the confirmation. I know it's fake.
It's a Fucci.
Oh,
a Fucci.
It's a fake Gucci.
It's a Fucci.
Right. So it goes straight to our FP&F department. A paralegal gets assigned, and this paralegal issues a notice. It says,
A paralegal. This is like a legal department.
Yes.
Ooh.
So it's paralegals that run this particular department.
This is the unauthorized practices law. Go.
No, they're supervised. Go on.
So they have on their letterhead, you horrible importer.
Horrible Leslie importer of fake Burberry.
You innocent schmuck, you.
Innocent schmuck.
Fuji lover.
You imported X item and the domestic value is X. So
domestic value is nothing. It's fake.
Well, what's the retail value? So we have two different values that we have to think about. Well, technically three values. The value you paid for it, which who gives a shit because it's fake,
which
right?
$10.
Correct. What's the value that it can be resold at?
$10 on eBay.
Fine. And what's the legitimate value as if it was real?
Why do I have that assess against me? It's not real.
Because you're making it pass as if it was real.
Why are you trying to
this
buy fake shit?
This sounds like bullshit.
Why are you buying?
This sounds like total bullshit.
Are you, you're
what
you're importing
like.
Fake
the
shit?
The federal government is out of control, for the record. Right.
So, for the record, if you are importing... So, let me give you a story that explains this better. So, I had a 20-year-old that was going to college, right? Going to college, getting her school on, and she had her side hustle. And her side hustle was selling sexy jewelry.
Oh.
On some websites to be not named today.
That
one less lawsuit
like
today.
Cartier.
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Said, right.
This is very typical. Wait.
Why, yes.
This is like back in the day, everyone sold Avon.
Allegedly.
Right, right.
Avon.
Allegedly. So now this 20-year-old schmuck, or innocent schmuck, is like, all my friends are doing it. Everybody's got their
sure,
websites.
Everybody knows.
Everybody's got it, right? My
better
favorite.
To sell jewelry than myself.
Right.
Go on.
Yes. So she's selling her jewelry online, and she's, you know, doing well. Next thing you know, she gets a letter in the mail, the same seizure notice.
Is
that
this
says,
like a real letter? Or is this like normal through the USP? Like,
yes.
Like I don't open my mail. My cleaning lady does. Like
right.
She barely speaks English.
Okay, pause.
Like, is this like
no,
served
stop.
On me?
No, you
live
in the world.
A regular fucking letter.
Hey,
bullshit,
certified
bro.
Mail. Certified mail.
Wait. You live in a world where things don't come in the mail. I live in the world where we get like 600 pieces of mail a day. Okay? Everything we deal with the federal government comes
is
in
mail.
The mail. It
mail.
Comes in physical letter and an do you know how much scanning takes place in my office
I've never
every
even
damn
seen
day?
A customer border patrol letter.
Protection, not patrol.
Garbage.
This is my number one pet peeve. No more patrol.
Protection.
Protection. Protection.
Oh, cute.
Protection.
That's rebranding for you.
My
that's rebranding
lady.
For you.
Her
okay.
Cleaning
okay.
Lady reads them.
My cleaning lady gets
doesn't
my mail.
Oh my God. You better teach her. I pray.
Like
get me on the phone with your cleaning lady. We need to teach her. If anything is from the government, you need to call me.
And you would have to teach her English first. Because she forgot how she's reading the
letter. Cleaning lady. You might as well say cleaning lady.
Of course you do.
Lovely, but she doesn't speak English. So how is she reading your federal government
mail?
Oh my
God, help
me.
Okay, wait. Let's
anyway.
Finish our example.
Okay,
so
back.
My
yes.
20-year-old gets a seizure notice from customs in English, okay?
In English.
She opens it. And what does she do?
Garbage.
She throws it
of
away.
Of course, that's what I would do. I'd be like, I'd be in the head, garbage. Like, who the fuck is this protection?
And then Leslie's like, no, thank you.
Trash.
Oh my God, and that's why you just schmucked it, right?
100%.
The next letter that she
oh,
gets,
there's another letter. Oh, bad. That's bad.
The
but
next one is a penalty notice from U.S.
Definitely
Customs.
Definitely garbage. Okay.
A $1 million.
That's fraud.
$1 million.
$1 million.
I would think that's bullshit.
The value
so
of
me.
Those bracelets as if
they were
legit
gold.
Cartier.
Oh, shit. They were Cartier.
Allegedly. So, I will give you an example. We had a client, legit, $4 million worth of penalties for his fake Gucci, Louis, whatever the hell it was, right? And then we file our petition with Customs, and we get that down to $4,000.
It was a Versace.
Versace.
Did I just throw you back?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Just show my age. Go on.
Okay, what are the defenses to this? Like,
perfect.
I thought it was real Cartier.
So, we call them mitigating factors in our world, and our mitigating factors is... She did not intentionally import counterfeit goods. That's one of them. It was her first time, or the volume. Like, this is her first time having an issue with you, Customs. Give her a pass for the first time, or better yet, this bitch can't pay you. She's got no money.
She's 20, and you just took away her side hustle. Ahora que.
So inability to pay
sure.
comes with 3 years of tax returns.
Oh, shit.
Personal returns.
Well, let's hope she
and now here's the other fun part. One of the first things I yell at people for is, guess what? These assholes import personal liability versus
wow.
under a business.
Yeah.
This is personal liability. Every time you order your shit online, it could be you that gets this crap notice in the mail.
And do these defenses work generally? They
yes.
do? Yeah.
So a typical... First violation for a counterfeit importer, the million would go to 10%, 100,000. But how many people can pay 100
this
grand?
This poor girl can't pay $100,000.
Which is why we go to inability to pay. So what happens is Customs has to go to their audit team and they have to see her financials. So we want your bank statements and we want 3 years of your tax return.
Jesus Christ.
So I want to, I know we're going to run out of time, but I want to give you one more resource for everyone. We have the top 10 tips when you're importing and when you're exporting. And it's all the shit that people don't think about. So we talked a little bit about value today, but think about classification. So there's books this big that have every item in the world that you can think of. And it's your job as an importer to classify your goods. Most people have no idea what the HTSUS is. Most people would have no idea. Now, there was some talk that if you want to import de minimis, you should have your classification and you should report it to customs. Importers would not have a freaking clue. Right. Do you know whether your clothing was knit or woven or what the square stitch is per inch of cotton and polyester or what the composition is? And
I know what the label says.
Right.
If I read it.
Right. The label does not have the classification on it.
I do not read it.
Nobody reads the label.
I do not read it.
And the label, guess who regulates the label, by the way? The Federal Trade Commission regulates what's on the label. So in your care instructions, you can thank the Federal Trade Commission for that. So when it comes to your top tips when you're importing or exporting, one of our first tips is, what are our agencies involved? Am I using forced labor or not? Is anti-dumping or countervailing duties involved? Now, anti-dumping or countervailing duties, that could be a whole other hour.
Yeah.
So the idea with anti-dumping or countervailing duties is my supplier receiving a subsidy or producing at less than fair market value and you have a U.S. industry
operating?
What
is my problem?
Because you're the importer.
I
it's all your problem.
No yelling. The mics get very mad. No yelling.
I am very mad.
This is a Cuban fight.
It's like, this is out of control.
I know. It's crazy.
And I feel like I don't really buy things from anywhere outside of the country, but I'm
going
like
to really have
her
think twice
this.
Before she imports anything.
So listen, what I've learned in this podcast today is Jen has all these fabulous...
Put shit under someone else's name, though.
No!
That's what I take it.
Fuck someone else. Thank you, Leslie. Not the Leslie.
When I call Alina,
we do have a lot of
things sent to your house, Alina.
No.
So
what I was
gonna, I get that a lot.
What I was going to say is the lesson that I've learned today is, yes, Jen has all these wonderful 10 top tips, but if you're going to import any real shit, like for business, for commercial needs, don't do it yourself.
Please, I beg of you.
Is there any way, are there top 10 tips to like get your counterfeit goods under the radar? Do you have one of those free reports, Jen? No.
No.
Okay, just
All right.
Allegedly.
We protect legitimate brand owners.
Legitimate brand owners. Of course. Yes. Stay off the Shine website, people. That's what I heard.
No.
That's not true.
I love all of these websites as well, but I like plain clothing without designs or marks because nobody can get in trouble for something that's plain.
Me too.
So when I look for things for my daughter, it's like I want to see plain things. I order plain things. If there's a Peppa Pig on it, I'm out. If there's a Minnie Mouse on it, I'm out. Unless you're buying it from Peppa or Minnie, like the chances of it being legitimate and them having an authorized license agreement and or providing me an agreement, because I'm going to be the schmuck on the other side of that Amazon account. So can you just send me your license agreement to show me that you really have the right?
I just bought a Winnie the Pooh t-shirt last week. I need to look into this. Anyways,
right,
Jen? This has been so fun. Thank you so much for coming. We are all absolutely terrified after listening to you. Any last words you want to share before we...
Yeah, if you get a notice from the government, your life isn't over.
Don't
it's not the
it
end of the world. Please don't do a Leslie. Don't throw it away. Send it over. One of my top tips is never pay without a fight. Always fight. Mm-hmm. There's always room to navigate and fight. If your global entry gets taken away, we do fight and get it back, but usually you have to have a 3-year clean record after that. So lots that you can do, but a lot that you're responsible for when you're importing or exporting. And we didn't even touch on exporting, which penalties are criminal for export violations, separate from import penalties, which are normally monetary. So there's a whole lot in both of these worlds. We deal with all of these crazy agencies and there is so much more we could ever discuss.
Oh, man. We
over
can do a
lots
whole
of
other
drinks.
Hour.
Lots of drinks.
We'll
lots
do another
of
podcast.
We'll
Thank you again,
it's
Jen.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, everyone, for watching, and we'll see you again next time.